From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of God Proving Faith and Faith Proving God, the ninth message in the series. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Dwelling Safely Apart. The text is Deuteronomy 33, verse 28. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. The more we dwell alone, the more safe shall we be. God would have his people separate from sinners. His call to them is, Come ye out from among them. A Christian world is such a monstrosity as the Scriptures never contemplate. A worldly Christian is spiritually diseased. Those who compromise with Christ's enemies may be reckoned with them. Our safety lies not in making terms with the enemy, but in dwelling alone with our best friend. If we do this, we shall dwell in safety, despite the sarcasms, the slanders, and the sneers of the world. We shall be safe from the baleful influence of its unbelief, its pride, its vanity, its filthiness. God also will make us dwell in safety alone in that day when sin shall be visited on the nations by wars and famines. The Lord brought Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, but he stopped halfway. He had no blessing, till having set out to go to the land of Canaan, to the land of Canaan he came. He was safe alone, even in the midst of foes. Lot was not safe in Sodom, though in a circle of friends. Our safety is in dwelling apart with God.
My love.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. The text for this ninth message in this series in Hebrews chapter 11 is verses 17 through 19, which recounts the ultimate test of Abraham's faith, God's command that he should offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Here we see a vivid lesson in unreserved faith in God. So complete was Abraham's faith in God's promise of a seed that he believed God would raise Isaac from the dead to fulfill it. Here is an important lesson for every believer, that God will test the faith of his people. The Lord does this in many ways. Sometimes he does it by removing a sense of his presence, by allowing Satan to tempt us. He may try us through the providence of affliction. Perhaps one of the most difficult tests for a Christian is an abundance of good things. Yet no test from God is intended to harm us. Rather, the tests are sent to draw us closer to him. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of this message called God Proving Faith and Faith Proving God.
The Lord allows his people at times to face peculiar temptations from the devil. And of course, at times, very frequently in fact, the Lord tests his people in that most common of all providences, the providence of affliction. You remember it was said to Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, that a sword would pass through her own heart. Providentially, her God, her Father, her Protector, her Lord, brought her into the place where the sword of affliction was to pass through her heart. Now these are all immediate and great trials, tests that come into the life of the believer. They show what is in the man. They show the faith that is there. They show the grasp of divine things that that man has. They show his commitment to Christ. They separate the real from the mere apparent Christian. These are common things. And I suppose in America today, as common as anything, and more dangerous than most, is the fact that very often abundance is a greater trial than most other things. It's my experience, and I'm sure of this because the Bible certainly teaches it in the clearest of language, that in suffering, Christians become more spiritual. In sufferings, Christians, brought to the end of themselves, are driven to their knees. They're driven to cry out to God. It's then they want to prove the promises. It's then they want to walk humbly. It's then they walk circumspectly in suffering. But in abundance, it's very often a different matter. We find that the Lord spoke to the Jewish people on various occasions about this. Let me select one. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. And see that the Lord gives a very strong warning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But verse 11 tells us, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and so on. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Do we not find evidence all around us today that the greatest enemy of holiness among God's people is their abundance? That which is the greatest obstacle to humility and separation unto God and the prayerful spirit and being consumed with the Word and being determined to live for Christ and obeying Him in personal living and in evangelism, the greatest thing that hinders that is the plenty that God's people are enjoying. We have much and we want more. We have all we need, and yet we labor for the meat that perishes. We get more and more and more, and yet there is within us that old, sinful, lustful, ungodly craving that says, I must labor for the things of time, but not for the things of eternity. I must set my sight on more money, more comfort, more goods, more stuff. And less effort goes into the things of God. Less attention is paid to praying. Less time is given to the Scripture. Less energy is given to the Gospel. Less love is given to the sinner. Abundance. The greatest single enemy of godliness. I think that is why so often God has to cut our plans down. I think that's why so often He has to keep so many Christians poor. Because there are very few Christians that He can trust with great abundance. There are some, thank God, that He does trust with it. And they use it wisely for the good of the gospel and the extension of the kingdom. And they don't make a god of what they have. We thank God that there are believers that He can trust that way. But man of God has kept you poor. Don't fly in the face of God. It's not to say that it would be wrong for you to labor hard. Labor hard. But if the Lord is keeping you poor, remember, it is to keep you close to Himself and not to allow you to be gobbled up with the godless philosophy of the world and led astray. When you've eaten and when you're full, it's the most dangerous time. In the natural realm, as you all know, when it comes to the Sabbath afternoon, when you've had your large Sunday meal, what happens? You sit down or lie down and you go to sleep. Back in Northern Ireland, Sunday afternoon meetings are very frequent occurrences. Our outreach works very often have a Sunday afternoon service. And I have to say, I never did like preaching Sunday afternoon services. They were the sleepiest services of the week, with few exceptions. And I tell you, what's true physically is true spiritually. When you've eaten and you're full, man, you get spiritually lazy, sleepy-headed, and you lose out with God. The spiritual food that God gives you is meant to give you energy to get up and go and work for Christ. God doesn't give you either the physical or the spiritual fullness in order that you sit down and lose out with Him. So abundance is a great trial. These are ways in which the Lord tests us. But let me say this to you. You are never fully tested until you are tested in your Isaacs. In that which is nearest and dearest on earth to your heart. In that which you naturally protect from God and from man. In that which you would hold to yourself and say, Lord, everything but this. Anything but this. This is my Isaac. All my hopes, all my love, all my plans are concentrated here. Lord, anything but this. I want to tell you, you are never fully tested until God touches your Isaac and tests you there. That calls for mortification. putting to death of that which you hold dear. That calls for submission, a yielding up not only of most but of all of your heart, a giving over to your God not only of the things that cost nothing, as the Pharisees did when they cast him to the treasury, but like that poor widow, the giving up of your very livelihood, the giving up of that which is nearest and dearest to you. Submission to God. And of course it means sacrifice. The New Testament scriptures speak of consecration in the language of the altar. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. There's nothing nearer to you than your body. There's nothing that feels pain so acutely as your flesh. He's getting to the nearest thing now, and he's saying, that's to be on the altar as a living sacrifice. The Lord comes at times and he tests us in our Isaacs. And then, like Abraham, you're fully tested. The old hymn asks, as you're all on the altar of sacrifice led, I can't say I don't like to sing that hymn, but I certainly don't like to have it sung blithely and carelessly. That's a huge question. That's a huge question. We're at Mount Moriah. Is your Isaac on the altar for God? Today, as the Lord looks at your heart and your life, is it laid out before him in total consecration? Or is there one dark corner of your heart and life around which you put up some fence of protection and say, Lord, anything but that? Ah, but you've missed the point, my friend. That is the very thing the Lord must have. He must have your Isaac. You're never tested until you're tested there. But you'll notice this, that God's testing in all these things is always for our spiritual good. The Lord Jesus, speaking to Peter, called it a sifting. Now every farmer knows what the sifting's for. I don't know all about the latest machinery for doing this. I know that there are machines that get it done a lot faster than they used to do it with their old flails. But I have gone to a little farm in Northern Ireland where they didn't have all the latest. They couldn't afford all the latest. And I saw them there, and how they got a great sieve out. And as they tossed, they had the chaff carried away in the wind. It was a sifting. That's what God's testing is all about.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.